Blog Talk Radio.
Life is good.
friends. It is I, Minister Big Ken. We're here to just continue on with Monday's lesson, or I guess you could say a little devotional or uplifting word, and coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. The call-in number here is 646-668-8468. Some of you might be on your lunch break or listening through Facebook, Twitter. God bless each and every one of you. We're going to continue on with our lesson or teaching on words of encouragement. Words of encouragement. It's not really deep, because when it comes to encouragement, you know what encouragement is. You know what it's like to be encouraged, and you know what it's like to be discouraged. And we want to talk about encouragement. I think too many times in the body of Christ, some of us are being discouraged and rather being encouraged. And I think we can raise people up to a level where God wants them to be, not where we want them to be, but where God wants them to be, by being encouragers. And one of the things I remember in Acts, when the church was first being formed, he was given the name of the encourager, or he was one who encourages, and that's what we need to be about. Let's pray before we get deep and get away from this. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, this afternoon. Lord, just thank you for waking us up this morning, thanking you, Lord, for having us in your heart, Lord God, that you would use us today in a mighty way, Lord. I pray that I decrease and you increase, Lord God, that you may have, your word may have take root in the hearts of those who might be discouraged right now, those who might be troubled, those who might be downtrodden, Lord. We want to lift them up, Lord, but with your word, Lord, because we know that the word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. And we know the word of God can give us life and life more abundantly. We know that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. And we thank you this day, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, if there's anyone that's the sound of my voice that does not have a personal relationship with you, that today will be the day that they come into faith, saving faith, and they trust Jesus Christ as their Lord, Master, and ruler of their life, and they let their sin lay at the foot of the cross, and they walk with you for eternity. We love you, we praise you, we bless you. We pray, Lord, that you would plant, water, and you give the increase in Jesus' mighty name. That calling number 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. We're going to be here for about maybe 40 minutes in case we have some people that might want to chime in this day. We left a little bit of a buffer, but we really want to have about 30 minutes in the Word, and then if anybody has any questions, they can ask him by calling in. That call-in number 646-668-8468. Let's go right into it. We left off Monday dealing with Hebrews, out of Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24, and we're talking about this, how to stimulate one another, bring people or encourage one another. Let's start at 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, who is the one who promised? Jesus. Because Jesus cannot lie, because he's God. So we know that because God cannot lie, he has promised us that he's faithful. We know that God cannot lie. He will never leave us or forsake us. We know that one day God is coming back soon for his bride. Doesn't mean that we won't have trials and tribulations. Doesn't mean death is not going to still be around. Doesn't mean that we don't have all of these concerns or things that happen in this world. And that sometimes we can be discouraged because we see so much evil going on. We turn on our news stations and we see so much discouragement. But guess what, friends? The word of God is true. The word of God tells us that God is faithful. And he who began a good work in you and me, if you are a believer, and I'm talking to the believer right now, if you are a believer, he is faithful. He is just. God, doesn't matter if you leave here, because when you leave here, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Doesn't matter what happens to you physically down here. We wouldn't promise to live down here forever anyway. Our hope is in heaven, from where we look for a Savior. So that's what we need to be encouraged about. First and foremost, sickness is part of the fall of man, or the fall of of what Adam and Eve, when they opened up the door to sin, when they disobeyed God one time, sin came into the world and crippled us. We have diseases and famines and pestilence and all the other sins that go with that because of sin. So we know that sin, as long as sin is here, sickness is going to be here. Diseases are going to be here. Crime is going to be here. Immorality is going to be here. All of these things that's happening right now are happening because of the fall. But we know that as believers, we don't live under the law. We don't live under the, we're not living under that mastery of sin any longer. If you truly are a believer, you should be progressing out of sin, and sin should not have a rule and reign over your house, according to Romans 8. You should not be a slave to the things that you used to be a slave to. We have struggles. All of us do. But each and every one of us, we must know and must take assurance that the word of God is true, that we don't have to be a slave to our sin anymore if you truly are born again. And people that say they're trying, then that means they have not submitted themselves to Christ. Because, see, you don't have to try with Christ. All you have to do is surrender. All we have to do is surrender. Again, Romans 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. He means, let us hold fast. Let's grab hold to it. If your faith is genuine, grab hold to it. Exercise your faith by getting into the Word and let the Word of God get into you. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. All you need to do is be a Berean. All you have to do is be one that's submitted to itself to the Master. When you say, Jesus, I want you to take over, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. But you have to get the Word in your spirit and put the Spirit of God and let the Holy Spirit have his way with you. Amen? He says, without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. And then verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We talked about this Monday. As a Bible student, as one who's bringing the Word, I am commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to stir you up, to raise your consciousness about how we live according to life and godliness. What is it that we're doing for the kingdom? How we should do whatever your gift is. What are you doing to exercise that gift? From working outside of your church to working inside of your church, but we all have a mission. Whatever the Lord is putting on your heart to do, you should be doing it. You should be exercising your gift. You don't just go to church just to get fed and not take it out and help feed someone else. If your pastor fed you on Sunday, Monday through Saturday, you should be trying to feed others. You should be trying to encourage one another, try to build up somebody. There's some young folks out here that's going through hell and high water. They need some mentors. They need some older people, older women. Teach these young women how to be godly women. If you are a godly woman, teach them how to keep their legs closed and open their Bibles and make better choices. They don't have to go trying to find love in the bedroom. They can find love in these 66 love letters that God has written to us, the Bible. We need more women. We need to encourage these young ladies to stop pimping themselves out. Stop trying to find love on their back. And men, we need to tell these young men to stop trying to be macho by laying every woman that wants to lay down with them. That's not manhood. Manhood means, matter of fact, a godly man is one who says, no, I'm going to wait, because you're a precious gift of God. You're a precious gift of God. Anybody can get laid. Anybody can get laid. Doesn't the animals get laid? But God wants us to practice agape love, not sloppy love. Amen? So he tells us here again, and let us consider how to stir up one another. How to stir up one another to love and good works. How are we stirring up people? Are we taking the word of God to all of the nations? Our Jerusalem is here in America. It might be in Inglewood. It might be in L.A. It might be in Riverside. It might be in San Bernardino. Wherever your Jerusalem is, you should be stirring up somebody. We could talk about football. There's nothing wrong with talking about football. We talk about basketball. There's nothing wrong with talking about that. But what are we talking about that's going to have eternal benefits, eternal resource, revenue? Well, how are we going to get our assets back? How are we going to get it back? We need to be encouragers. We need to be building the kingdom of God up by letting people know that are in Christ that God loves us so much and he has so many good things for us. But we're not going to reap those good things if we're not doing what he says. Because there's some Christians out here that just don't understand who they are in Christ. They don't understand the benefits of walking by faith and walking in this truth. Walking by faith is not just a concept. Walking by faith means walking faithfully. You don't just get saved today and live like a heathen like you always did. You don't get saved today and keep on fornicating, keep on committing adultery, keep on lying, stealing, cheating. You don't do those things. That's not the Christian life. We are called to good works. Once you are saved, you're supposed to be producing good works, good deeds. How are we living for the kingdom? Because when we was in the world, if the world knew us by the standard we live, say you was a dope dealer. Well, as a dope dealer, I'm sure you wasn't a kind dope dealer. Most dope dealers got to be ruthless because they're about that money. Most dope dealers, usually, they're probably pimping some women on the side as well because they got some women that's on drugs. So what do? They feed them a supply. They're the pipeline to their high. If you're a pimp, you're not a kind pimp. You're pimping women out. You're using women for your own ill-gotten gain. There's no such thing as he's a kind criminal. He's a good criminal. He's a nice criminal. Come on now, that's oxymoron. We're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be godly people, not just people that talk the talk, but actually live it. We show acts of kindness and mercy. We show compassion. We help feed people when they're hungry. I'm not saying you gotta give somebody money every time they see them, but hey, sometimes you see that homeless guy, take him to McDonald's. Go over there and buy him a burger. Now, if he don't want the burger or something, if he don't want food, but he asked you for money for food, then you tell him, nah, I'm not gonna give you the money, but hey, I'll take your feed. Let's go over here and have a burger. You can put it in a bag and heat it up later. Amen? So God calls us, he says, stir up. Stir up. Let's go back and look at this. I want to look at this word in the context. Well, first of all, we want to look at this other word because it's important that we get an understanding of words. They mean something. Words mean something in the Bible, amen? So we got to look at some of the history. Remember I told you before that the Bible was not written in English. It's not written in American English. It's written in Greek, Hebrew, and Arabic. So we need to understand that our Bible is not a Western culture. It wasn't written in the same language that we talk of. Just like the word believe, it means pistos in the Greek. And that word means to truly trust. To trust in, to put your trust totally in to something. Believe not is just not a concept. You know, you can say I believe the chair gonna hold me up. But that chair could break legs. But when Christ said he gonna do something, we don't believe nothing's gonna ever go wrong because God is faithful. Amen. All right. Looking at this word it's faithful. In Hebrews 24 and let us consider one another to provoke. This word provoke, I wanted to look at this. It means, it's the same word is synonymous with the word to stir up, provoke unto love and to good works. Let's look at it. The Greek word in the Strong's G3948. That's what we're going to look at. Look at this word here and the etymology of it. And the word is parakousmos. Parakousmos, and it's a masculine noun, and it's used as inciting or incitement, irritation. You ever been irritated before? You know how that is. It's like somebody rubbing. It's like almost like rubbing sandpaper on you. That irritates the skin, or if you was to scratch so much, your skin would get red. You're irritating it. Well, this word means the same. It's got the same strong point of it, to irritate someone to love and good works. It means you're constantly telling them, you're inciting, you have to give them inciting or incitement to love and good works. Man, come on, man. why you still playing games, man? Sister, why you still doing that? God, there has something better for you. You know better than that. And we do it in love. We do it in love with compassion and sensitivity, but we do it because we want our brother. We don't want nobody to fall through the cracks. We don't want nobody to fall. We want nobody to... We know the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not worried about those that's out in the world. He's worried about those that's in the church, playing church. He don't know your heart, but he's sure going to try to find out what your motives are. So he's going to dangle the carrot, and it's up to us to decide if we're going to eat it. And if God has given us the best, why are we messing with the less? Amen? So this word, it means, this stirred up means to bring inciting or incitement, irritation. It means you want to get someone, if they're going to be mad at you, for let them be mad at you because you're trying to prod them to do what is good and godly and what is right in God's eye because you love them. It's your love. Now, it comes a time when you have to, only you and the Holy Spirit know when God is telling you to back off and leave that person alone and let them go. If they want to be a fool, and nothing you can do about it. But you have to ask, you have to wait to see what the Holy Spirit is saying on that. And it's important for us to, you know, we try to encourage because it needs to be done. It needs to be done. Let's look at a couple references. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. We see this was used in another context, Acts 18:15-39, and then in Hebrews 10:24, we just read that. I want us to look at some other references of encouragement, because it's important that we try to cover some more. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He lives. He gives power to the faint. That should be a word of encouragement. He gives. God gives good gifts. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Now, God is our back. He gives us strength. He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you believe that? Do you believe that strength, and strength is part of what God gives us in encouragement? He says, look what some of these are verbs. These are action. God does action. He's not a God that's passive. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you waiting on the Lord? Is your strength being renewed? The only way it's going to be renewed, and the only way you can know that you know that you know, is if you're in Christ. If you have a personal relationship with Christ, you can be assured that God will give you. I've experienced this strength when I was weary, when I was faint. I feel like I just couldn't go on. People did me wrong and came up against me. Even church members, so-called friends, so-called family, stab you in the back. But guess what? I waited, and God renewed my strength. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Are you being upheld? Are you being upheld by the one, the only one that you can fully trust in? Only person can say that is the one that's been redeemed. Only one that knows that is the one that has experienced God's mercy and grace. If you are truly born again, you can know these things. You can know that God is faithful and that he is an encourager and a strength. He gives strength to the weary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, if you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. You can come right now. God is calling you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You can come right now. It might be years. It might be weeks before somebody hears this message. And it might be just what you need. But guess what? It ain't too late if you can hear.
If the Holy Spirit is giving you ears to hear today, you can come and know him. All you got to do is confess your sin. All you got to do is tell God what he already knows about you. But you just making it knowledge that you know this about you. For the first time, you know that you are a sinner. You know that you have been living a life that's apart from God's grace, apart from God's justice, apart from his mercy. And God said, right now, you can come. You can dump all that sin. You can leave it all at the foot of the cross and come to me by faith and trust me as your Lord and Savior, and I will no way cast you away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to be encouragers, friend. We need to tell others about this life-changing message of Jesus Christ. We need to be people of godly character and integrity. Too many people today are not walking as they say they are because they don't know who they are. And the reason they don't know who they are is because they're sitting up under teachers, false teachers, who have told them that they can name it and claim it, come to Christ, get your fire insurance, and then you can just skip off into the bank of that bank of heaven as a rich man or rich woman, and that's not biblical theology. God didn't promise us health, wealth, and prosperity down here. He promised us eternal life, though, if we would trust in him by faith. He promised us a new heaven and a new home in heaven where neither a moth, rust, nor moth can eat it up. He promised us a place where there would be no more weeping, no more tears, no more sorrow, a place of jubilee, a place of rejoicing, a place where we can have the fullness and be, and we'll have our glorified bodies, but we don't have to worry about what's going on around us. Because everything that's going on around us, or will be going on around us, will be God-centered. Amen. Amen. We got a few more minutes. And we'll go ahead and close it up. Again, that call-in number is 646-668. That's 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. For those who might want to call in, if you got a comment or question on this lesson or on encouragement. But until then, we will continue on with a couple more passages. First Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. That's an imperative. We need to seek him. We need to be seeking a God, seeking God's strength, seeking his presence continually. A lot of times, and this goes for me especially, I don't get into the presence of God enough. I don't get into his presence. I don't get into the Holy of Holies, so to speak, where I'm just so consumed with his love and his mercy. And I know that I need more of that. We all do. But his chronicle says right here, plain and simple, 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. So many are still seeking the world, seeking the things of the world. Friends, we live in the world, and there's nothing wrong with traveling. There's nothing wrong with seeing what God has created. There's nothing wrong with all of the things that everything that's been made has been made for the glory of God, or it's been made so we can richly enjoy. No, except those things that would kill, steal, and destroy us, like drugs, and abusiveness of drugs, and alcohol, and those type of things. But God says, seek the Lord and his strength, to seek his presence continually. How many of us going to try to do that? I need to work on it. We all need to work on it. We shouldn't have prayer just on Sundays or Wednesday night. And it's so important for us not to be just weak, Sunday morning Christians. We need to be everyday Christians. The world, our jobs, everywhere we go, if we go to a Walmart, a gas station, wherever we go, Christ should be ready, be seen from us. He should be present. Amen, amen. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Hallelujah. I like what he said. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Is God your salvation? Have you turned your life over to Christ so that you would have new life? Have you truly trusted in the living Savior? Have you made him Lord, Master, and ruler of your life? Or are you still Lord of your life? Question you can only ask. Question you can only ask. Answer, I'm sorry. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, a lot of people take this out of context. Well, I can do all things. Well, you can't do all things. You can't fly. You still can die. So you can't, you know, you can die physically. You can't die, you know, if you're a believer, you can't die spiritually. But you can't do all things, not all in the sense of anything you want. You can't jump off a mountain and expect that you're going to flap your arms and fly. That's not going to happen. Could God make you? Could he raise you up? Yeah, he could, but I wouldn't go tempting that. I don't see anything in the scripture that would warn us to try to do all things, jump off the Empire State Building or any of those things. I think we need to be wise in what the scripture says. He said, I can do all things what? In Christ. That's the context of it. I can only do what Christ allows me to do. If he's strengthening me to do something for his glory, absolutely I could do it. If I'm going out there to minister and I'm going into a gang-infested area, I'm going into an area that might be full of hostility, might be a bunch of homosexuals that hate Christians, which we see more and more of that going on. They claim to love God, but at the same time, they hate what we stand for. They hate the fact that we hold to the Holy Scriptures, and the Scriptures teach us that is an abomination against God. Does God love them? Yes, he loves them enough for them that he wants to redeem them. He wants to bring them out of that lifestyle if they would just repent. It starts with them. They must repent. The hardness of the heart keeps man from repentance. The callousness of his heart, the hostility, him being stiff-necked like Israel was when they wanted their idols. Nothing new under the sun, friends. Until man realizes his need for God is greater than God's need for him. We need God. God never needed us, but he wants to use us. He wants to use his creation. He wants to use all of those who have trusted him by faith and are living for him. He says, I can do all things. Paul said, I can do all things. Now, we know Paul couldn't do nothing without Christ. It was through him that he could have this strength. It was through him he had the ability to minister and be able to be steadfast, even in prison. This man was in prison for the gospel's sake. Not everybody can handle going to prison. But if you had to go for Christ, God would give you the strength. If you had to be, you're going to be persecuted, God's going to give you the strength. When your faith is real, this is when your faith becomes a reality. Because he says all who desire to live godly shall suffer some form of persecution. Now in America, we don't see that, but guess what? It's coming. We see the White House all the time putting out rhetoric against Christ, against Christianity, but they uphold Islam. Islam gets a pass. But you can't be a Christian and say anything negative about anybody now without, you can't speak the truth because they'll put you in jail for it. I want to, but that's okay. It's better to go to jail than go to hell. Amen. Amen. Psalms 18:32-34. The God who equipped me with strength. That word equipped means he supplies you. God supplies you. It's like a military man, a soldier. You can't go to battle without your gear. I spent 15 years in the military. You cannot be prepared if you don't have your full gear, your rucksack, and everything that goes with it. Ammo pouches and everything. We're at war. And guess what, my friends? The Christian is at war. In this country of America, Christianity is at war. They hate the God that we stand for. It's too narrow for them. But my God says he's a narrow God. He didn't say it was many roads to heaven. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's a narrow-minded view. Yes, I love it. I don't want a God that's schizophrenic. I want a God that's all over the place. I want a God that says it like, says what he says, and he meant what he said, and he cannot lie. Amen. Amen. He says, the God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. That's what David was saying. David was saying that he was a man of war. He was fighting against the enemies of God. He was fighting against the enemies of God. Psalms 18, 32, 34. I like what he said. He says, the God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. See, blameless is not sinless, friends. Blameless just means I'm going to be biblically centered. I'm going to be Bible-centered. When we talk about blameless in the Bible, it means to be Bible-centered, Bible-directed. And when we mess up, we fess up, we get up. My God, the God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless, he made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war. What is that? Wait a minute. Hold on. What do you say? He trains. A lot of people say, oh, God don't send people to war. Oh, yeah, he sent Israel to war. He sent Israel to war. David says he trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. People need to get biblical understanding of what the word means. Amen? We're going to do one more. We're going to cut it off. He says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for the reading and the exhortation of your word today. We pray, Lord God, that there were souls and hearts that might hear this, whether it be on Blog Talk or in the archives. We pray that people would take heed to this word. Not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, but this word would transform their lives and make them into new creations. And those who might be in a backslidden state, we pray right now, Lord, that they would come out of that world, come out of the flesh, and come out away from the devil and walk with you in newness and restoration, knowing that you are our God, a rock and a refuge, a place that we can run into for time of refreshing. No matter what our sin is, no matter what we've done, Lord, even whatever the consequences could be because of our action in the past, let us come. Let them come, Lord. Let them come today by faith and trust you wholeheartedly in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you. Amen. Again, friends, we thank you for those who might be listening on the archives. You know, I don't get caught up into who calls and who don't call. Hey, I'm going to continue to do this. If I get one listener, I'll get a thousand. My point is not to have a big popularity radio ministry. My job and what God, I believe God has called me to do, is just to promote the cross, and we let God do the rest. And if he uses my voice and the spirit that's working in me to build up, and I've done exactly what he called me to do, and I can rest in that. I can be confident in that. It's all about the cross. It's not about Daryl Kendrick. It's about the cross. And speaking of, if you don't know, you can find me on Facebook, Daryl Kendrick. Daryl Kendrick at Facebook. Also, my email, dkendricksr@gmail.com. My phone number, personal number, is 713-538-4936. If you have any questions, comments, or you'd like to talk about anything off the air, you can reach me there. And again, you can call in and check your Blog Talk listings, or check my Facebook for up-and-coming programs. Lord willing, we'll be back here on Friday to do another 30-minute in God's Word. And stay tuned for our video vlogs that we're doing, just words of encouragement throughout the week. And again, I just want to encourage each and every one of us that we have so much that God wants to teach us, and so many things that God wants to build us up with. I pray that the scriptures that were shared today were words of stimulation and irritation, as it truly meant to irritate and incite a response, you know, because, hey, we need to be encouraged. Amen. We need to be encouraged. I know I was encouraged, and I thank God for his mercy and grace. And I just want to say, friends, that nothing is too big for God. No problems, no situation. Everything that we're going through down here, Lord, is a test. It's a trial. Now, if you're out there doing stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing, it's time for you to come out of it. Let it go. set it at the foot of the cross and come out of it. Let God free you up. Let him set you free, because God wants to use you in a mighty way. But he will not use us when we are in sin and playing in sin. God wants to use us, though, to be a blessing to others who might be in darkness. Amen. So the only way we can be used is once we give it up. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's all I got for today. We're going to close out with a song. But we're going to let the Holy Spirit just minister to us as we go out. But I thank you for coming, and I just ask that you just continue to just encourage other people. Let other people know that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. If he's Lord and King of your life, you should show them how they can make him Lord and King of their life. Amen. Minister Dale Kendry, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, we are out for the day. God bless each and every one of you. I hope and pray that God will comfort you, and has comforted you and stimulates you to love and good works this day and forevermore. Amen.